You planned the whole thing. Every leg, every checkpoint. The fuel burned down to the gallon, you've got the nav log filled out in neat little boxes, and you feel good about it. You should feel good about it. And then about 20 minutes into the flight, your examiner reaches over, closes your flight plan, taps a spot on the sectional way off to the side, and says, "Weather's going down at our destination, take me here instead." And everything you planned on the ground just became useless. That moment right there is what we're talking about today. The diversion. I'm Pattern, and this is Traffic Pattern here on Radio Hangar, the show where we try to make you a better, safer pilot one task at a time. And this is a task that rattles more applicants than almost anything else on the private and commercial check ride, because it's the one thing you cannot fully plan in advance. Let's walk through this together. Here's why the diversion matters, and it's not because the examiner is trying to trick you, it's because someday for real, the weather is going to close in on the place you were going, or a passenger is going to get sick, or you're going to look at your fuel and your ground speed and do the honest math and realize you're not making it to the airport you filed for. The diversion isn't an academic exercise, it is the single most useful cross-country skill you will ever own, because it's the skill of throwing away the plan and staying safe anyway. Before we get into the how, let me take care of something. Shout out to our friends at AviationSoul.com. They make challenge coins for every step of the journey. Got your first solo? There's a coin for that. Private pilot, instrument, commercial, they've got you covered. It's a great way to mark the milestones that matter, the ones you can hold in your hand years later. AviationSoul.com. Okay, the diversion. Let me tell you what the Airman Certification Standards, the ACS, actually asks for here, because a lot of students build this up into something bigger than it is. The task is called diversion, and the standard wants you to select a suitable airport or point, promptly divert toward it, make a reasonable estimate of heading, ground speed, arrival, time, and fuel, and maintain control of the airplane the entire time. That last part is underlined in invisible ink. Fly the airplane first, and here's something I wish someone told me when I was training. The examiner is not looking for precision, they are looking for judgment and priorities. Nobody expects you to whip out a plotter, draw a perfect course line, and compute a wind-corrected heading to the degree while you're hand-flying a Cessna 172 in bumps at 3,000 feet. If you try to do that, you're going to put your head down in the cockpit for 2 minutes, drift off altitude, wander off heading, and fail the task you were trying so hard to pass. The examiner is looking for a pilot who can make a fast, reasonable estimate and get moving, so let's build the actual sequence. I'm going to give you an order to do things in, and the order is the whole secret. When the examiner says, "Divert to that airport," here's what happens in your cockpit. First, you fly the airplane. You pick a heading that's roughly right and you turn to it. Right now, before you calculate anything, before you touch a pencil, you get the nose pointed in the general direction of that airport, because a rough heading flown right now is worth more than a perfect heading flown 2 minutes from now. Aviate, then navigate, then communicate. It's the oldest priority list in flying, and it exists precisely for moments like this. So how do you get that rough heading without doing math? You use your thumb and your eyeball. Here's the technique, and it is genuinely this simple. Find your present position on the sectional. Find the airport you're diverting to. Now look at the line between them and relate it to something you already understand. The compass rose, or just north, south, east, west. Is that airport up and to the right of you? Then you're going roughly northeast. Turn to 045 and refine from there. You can lay your thumb, a pencil, or the edge of your kneeboard along that line and eyeball it against a line of longitude, which runs straight north and south. You are not solving for the wind yet. You're just answering the question, which way do I point the airplane? And you can answer that in about 5 seconds. Turn the airplane to that heading. Now you're diverting. The clock is running toward that field, and you have bought yourself time to do everything else calmly. Second. Now you figure distance, and you don't need a plotter for this either. Every sectional has a scale, but here is the shortcut that's faster. The lines of latitude. Remember that 1 degree of latitude is 60 nautical miles, which means each minute of latitude is 1 nautical mile. On the side of your chart, the tick marks between the latitude lines are your ruler. Already printed, already to scale, or easier still, use the distance you already know. If you can see a chart feature you passed a few minutes ago, and you know how far that was, you've got a mental yardstick. Pinch off the distance with your fingers, hold it against the latitude scale, and call it. Say the airport's 22 nautical miles away. Round it. call it 20, good enough. Third, now you get ground speed and time, and this is where people freeze up, so let me make it painless. You already know your ground speed? You've been flying across country for the last 20 minutes computing ground speed off your checkpoints. If you were making, say, 100 knots over the ground on your original course, use 100 knots. Yes, the wind's coming from a different angle now on the new heading, so it's not exact. It does not need to be exact. The examiner is not going to bust you because you used 100 and the true number was 94. Then do the easy math. Ground speed of 100 knots is a little under 2 miles a minute. 20 miles at 2 miles a minute is about 10-12 minutes. You can round that in your head. There's your estimated time en route. Note the clock, add the minutes, there's your estimated time of arrival. Fourth, fuel. If you know your burn, and you should, this is one more easy step. Say you're burning 8 gallons an hour. 12 minutes is a fifth of an hour, so that's about a gallon and a half to reach the field. Compare that against what's in your tanks with a huge margin to spare. Confirm you're fine, and say so out loud. The examiner wants to hear you close that loop. I've got 20 gallons, I need under 2 to get there. We're in great shape on fuel. Done, and notice what you did there. You never stopped flying the airplane for more than a glance at a time. Point the nose, then glance down, do one small thing, look back up, fly, point, glance, fly. That rhythm is what keeps you out of trouble. And honestly, it's what the examiner is really grading. They want to see a pilot whose eyes come back inside for 3 seconds and then go back outside, not a pilot who disappears into the cockpit and treats the whole thing like a math test on the ground. Let me give you a real scenario because this stuff lives or dies in the specifics. You're a student pilot on your long solo cross country. You're humming along at 4,500 feet. Everything's great, and you notice the visibility ahead is starting to get milky. The ceiling that was supposed to be scattered is looking more like broken, and it's coming down. Your destination is still 40 miles ahead and right under that murk. This is not a check ride now. This is Tuesday, and it's real. Here's where the diversion becomes the thing that saves your certificate and maybe more. You do not press on hoping it gets better. That hope, that little voice that says it'll probably clear up, that's the same voice that has flown a lot of good pilots into a lot of bad situations. Instead, you glance back the way you came, where the sky is still bright, and you remember there was a nice, long paved airport about 15 miles back. Thumb on the chart. It's behind you and slightly left. Roughly 225, southwest turn. Now, 15 miles, 100 knots. That's 9 minutes to sunshine and a runway. You just made yourself the pilot in command in the truest sense of the phrase. That's the mindset the diversion is trying to build in you, the willingness to abandon the plan the moment the plan stops being safe. Everything you drew on the ground was a good idea in the conditions you expected. When the conditions change, the good idea changes with them. Learning to fly is hard and it is expensive, and I know how much it costs you to be out there burning those hours, so let me save you some grief. The pilots who get hurt are almost never the ones who diverted early. They're the ones who kept the original plan long after the sky told them to let it go. A few practical takeaways you can use on your very next flight, even a training flight around the pattern practice area. Practice picking diversion airports the whole time you fly. Wherever you are, ask yourself if I had to be on the ground in 10 minutes. Where would I go? Which way would I turn? How far is it? Play that game constantly and the check ride diversion becomes a non-event because you've already done it 1,000 times in your head. Keep your sectional oriented and keep track of where you are. The diversion is nearly impossible if you don't actually know your present position when the examiner springs it on you. Half of a good diversion is just never getting lost in the first place. Look outside, track your progress, know your spot on the chart within a couple of miles at all times. Learn to love the rough number. In this task, 90% right and done in 10 seconds beats 100% right and 2 minutes head down every single time. Round everything, 22 miles is 20. 94 knots is 100. 11 and a half minutes is 12. The examiner is checking whether your estimate is reasonable, not whether it's surveyed, and say what you're doing out loud. I'm turning to the northeast for the airport. It looks like about 20 miles. We're making 100 knots, so call it 12 minutes. Plenty of fuel. When you narrate it, you show the examiner your judgment. You keep yourself organized, and you catch your own mistakes before they matter. If you've got a moving map or a tablet in the airplane, by all means use it. It'll draw you a course and a distance in a heartbeat. And in the real world, you should use every tool you've got. But learn to do it with your thumb and the chart first. Panels fail. Batteries die. Tablets overheat on the glare shield on a hot day and quit right when you need them. The pilot who can point a thumb at a chart and turn toward safety never has a bad day because a screen went dark. The material today comes straight from the FAA's Airman Certification Standards and the Pilot's Handbook of Aeronautical Knowledge, and I'd tell any student to go read the diversion task in the ACS for your certificate word for word, because it tells you exactly what you'll be judged on. You'll find more at radiohanger.com if you want to keep going. Here's the last thing, and it's the thing I want you to actually carry with you. The best pilots aren't the ones who never have to change the plan. They're the ones who change it early, without drama, and land somewhere safe with fuel in the tanks and a good story instead of a close call. Go practice your diversions, point the thumb, turn the airplane, fly it home. I'll see you next time.